Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Amen.
So let's look at that passage in Ephesians chapter 1 and say, as I said, please have your Bibles open. We're going to look at the section from verses 3 through to 14. And as I read that, I have this image in my mind of Paul speaking. I'd love to have heard Paul speaking. My impression is, from the way Paul writes, that it just poured out of Paul. And you can see times when he starts a thought and then it goes off on a little sidetrack and then comes back. And you can imagine him just pouring out of him as he speaks. And as he writes this, he starts off with, "Praise be to God our Father." And then the next 11 verses just pour out in the original Greek in one long sentence. And sometimes people talk like that and a thing comes out and another thing and another thing and another thing. And that's just pouring out of Paul, his enthusiasm for the glory of God, to the praise of his glory. This long, the 11 verses in our Bible, say one sentence in the original Greek, just flows through with Paul's enthusiasm. Paul talks about God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. We have all parts of the Trinity here, and there's many themes coming through this. But it's the enthusiasm that gets to me, and I'm not big on enthusiasm, but hopefully I'll try and get some of that across to you tonight. You can imagine some people are naturally enthusiastic, others are a bit quieter, it comes out. And it depends on subjects. I know sometimes I go into the office and my colleagues will say to me, "What did you do at the weekend on Mark?" And I might say, "Oh, I went to visit a steam railway." But if I'm talking to somebody who shares my interests, my enthusiasm, or somebody I think might appreciate it, then I might say, "Oh, I went to a steam railway and my favourite class of locomotive was there, and there was one I hadn't seen before that's just been refurbished, and it was pulling my train, and it was brilliant. I got to go up on the cab, and I pulled it back, and the two of them were together, and it went." The enthusiasm just pours out when you're on a subject that really excites you. And this is what happens here with Paul. Paul is excited about what he's saying. And he starts off, you know, it almost as if he starts a formal letter, praise be to God, and it just takes over, and the Holy Spirit pours out there in that. So we're going to look at that and see how all these different things come together. Now, there's lots of themes in just these few verses, or lots of things you can pick up that go through it. And on the screen, I've hopefully will get a list of them coming up now in a moment. But just as we look at it, look at these different themes that are, or different ideas that come time and again in the passage. There's God's purpose and will. Many times it talks about God has determined this. It's God's purpose. This will happen. God's will. This will happen. It talks about God's pleasure. So the things it's describing come because it's God's will and God's pleasure to do them. And it's God's sovereign choice in some of the things he says there. But he's talking also about God's riches that we get through Jesus. I think last week we had the grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. And this comes out in this passage here. God gives his riches to us through the work of Jesus. And then overall, the whole passage is praise God. When I started preparing this, I took the passage and copied it out onto a computer screen. I went through with a highlighter to highlight these and a few other themes, and I ran out of highlighter pen colours because there's so many different ideas that come back and round. And it's almost like a ball of wool of different colours of thread that gets all just come up together. These ideas go round, and Paul almost talks them in circles and places, just as the enthusiasm pours out of him here. So we're going to go through this. I'm going to take each section at a time and talk about it. And I'm just wary of one little question here, because this is just one thought that's pouring out of Paul. And taking it apart, we may lose the whole thing. Because if you know the story of Lord of the Rings, there's a scene in that where Gandalf the wizard is arguing with another wizard. And the other wizard says, well, white light can be broken into many colours. And Gandalf says, he that breaks a thing to find out what it is has left the path of wisdom. Breaking something to understand it isn't a good idea. So I'm just a little bit wary, and please keep this in mind. When we take this to pieces and look at the detail, we mustn't lose sight of the big picture. And the big picture is this is about praising God for what he has done. Now, I may, if I remember, I will do this. Each phrase we look at, we can prefix with praise God. So when we talk about verse 4, for he chose us in him, we need to think, praise God, for he chose us in him. Because this whole passage is directed at the praise and glory of God. So let's look at it in detail as we go through that. And hang on to that sort of two-word motto, praise God. Verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, as I said, this passage through to verse 14 there, it's all about praise. It starts with praise. First word in our translations is praise to God and Father. And it ends with praise. The last phrase in verse 14 there is to the praise of his glory, as we just sung. So we mustn't lose sight of that idea. It's all about praising God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And the big idea running through this is that the blessings we have, our salvation, our redemption, our adoption as sons in through Jesus, are as a result of God's will. And the two big ideas, God's will that determined it would happen and Jesus' action that made it so. So distinct, so we have two roles there, God the Father and Jesus Christ. God willed that it happened, God chose that it would happen, and Jesus made it happen. So verse 3 there. Who has blessed us in the, praise God, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We know that the blessings we have as Christians, our salvation, is because they have come through Christ. Last week, as I said, we were thinking about the Easter, Christ's sacrifice and Christ's resurrection. And through that, we obtain access to God. We obtain these spiritual blessings. So God has blessed us through Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. What does it mean, the heavenly realms? It's an unusual phrase that doesn't come very often in Paul's writings, but he uses it in Ephesians a couple of times. Look at verse 20 in chapter 1. Where he says, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Same phrase, heavenly realms. And over the page, same page in some Bibles, chapter 2, verse 6, again, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So the idea that Christ died for our sins, he ascended to glory, and God sat him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, at God's hand. So that's what Paul is talking about when he says God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. Not so much talking about physical blessings here on earth. You know, in the Old Testament, God's blessings came in the form of prosperity, families, wealth, flocks. Here, Paul talks about spiritual blessings in Christ. And obviously, we can think of a number of things that we could talk of as spiritual blessings. But maybe let's just keep it simple and say, Galatians tells us the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Those are all spiritual blessings that come with us through the work of Jesus that God has chosen to give us. But above all, he gives us that spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm, that Jesus is sat there and we have a place in heaven, as we'll see in the following verses. For in Christ, all of those blessings are ours. And in the next few verses, we can see a number of ways in which God has given us spiritual blessings. We can see in verses 4 to 6, God's past blessing on us. Verses 5 to 8, God's present blessing on us. And verses 9 to 10, future blessings. In the past, we'll see in 4 to 6, God chose us. In the present, verses 5 to 8, he gives us adoption. And in verses 9 and 10, we are unified with Christ as part of God's kingdom. So let's carry on through that. And bear in mind, this is all about what God has chosen to do. So praise God, verse 4, praise God, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. And that is a fantastic verse. The Paul's thoughts come out of that. And that should encourage us, that should excite us, that should make us enthusiastic about what God has done for us. That should make us turn to God in praise and singing, because God has chosen us. And the Bible tells us here in verse 4, that God chose us to be his children before the creation of the world. Before he made the world, before anybody had heard of me, anyone heard of Great Britain, of this church, of Chippenham, God chose us to be holy and blameless in his sight through the work of Jesus. So we are chosen by God. God's will, one of the themes there, God's will, God's pleasure. God's will is that we should be his children. Christ achieved that through his death on the cross. And so through Jesus' work, God sees us as holy, to be holy and blameless in his sight. Just how amazing is that, that God chose me? Nothing special about me, nothing special about any of us that would make God choose us because of who we are. But God chose us because it was his will and his pleasure to choose us to be his children. We should praise God for that. When I feel insignificant, when I feel inadequate to the task, when I feel beaten or defeated, God chose me. Before the creation of the world, God knew all of that. He knew the times I would fail. He knew the times that I would feel sinful, yet God chose me. And because of the work of Jesus, even though I am a sinful man, God has chosen me and made me holy and blameless through Jesus' sacrifice. Verse 5. Praise God again. Praise God, in love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. Again, there's that idea that God chose these things to happen. It's God's will and God's pleasure that Jesus died for my sins. It's God's will and God's pleasure that I am saved. God loved us, so he chose us to be adopted through the work of Jesus Christ. So, verse 4, he chose us so that we be seen to be holy and blameless. But verse 5, not only that, he chooses us to be adopted as sons and daughters, adopted as his children. That adoption, remember we're talking about these blessings in the heavenly realms where Jesus has sat down at the right hand of God. We are adopted in the same way. So we have all the rights that implies by that. Adoption, particularly in the context Paul was writing in the Roman world, adoption gave the adoptee the full legal rights of somebody born naturally in the family. They were fully, they had all the rights. They would inherit in the same way as any natural children at the end of the father's life. And that's what God does for us. He's not only saved us, but he's adopted us as his children to be part of his kingdom. So we can't say God chose me. Sorry, forget that. I've lost my train of thought. So we need to live as though we are adopted by God. We need to live as though we are part of God's family. We can't say, okay, I have been chosen by God. I have been redeemed by the work of Jesus. Therefore, I can live how I like. No, we need to live as though we are part of God's adopted family. We need to live to be holy and blameless. Now, we know we're going to fail that every day. We can't live up to God's standards. But the work of Jesus cleanses that away. The work of Jesus cleanses our sin. And we need to realize the excitement, the glory that we are cleansed by Jesus and we are adopted to be his sons and daughters through the work of Jesus Christ. And then look again at verse 5. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, praise God, in accordance with his pleasure and will. And again, that's, you know, Paul is just piling on amazing fact after amazing fact. Not only did God choose to save us, God chose us to be his adopted family, but verse 5, Paul says, this is for his pleasure and his will. He planned all this before time. My salvation was God's idea before he created the world. Not only was it God's will to do it, but verse 5 tells us it was his pleasure. It was his pleasure to cleanse me. It was his pleasure to make us his children, to be his adopted sons and families. God has pleasure in us, in our salvation, in the work of Jesus in saving us. Nobody made God do this. Nobody forced God's hand. It wasn't a question of, well, God says the rules and so he's got to abide them. God chose to do that and he did it because it's his pleasure. And this, again, is just, you know, should fill us with enthusiasm, with joy that we want to glorify God and praise him because he has done that. And it's just such, you know, the song we sing, Amazing Grace. It's grace that God has given to us, not just to cleanse us, but because it's his pleasure to do that. That's the God we worship. That's the God we serve. That's the God we are adopted into the family of. The God who has pleasure in us coming to him and enjoying him and glorifying him. Verse 6, let's move on. Praise God, to the praise of his glorious grace. So all of that we've done, Paul says, he said we are chosen by God. God has made us holy and blameless in his sight. He has adopted us in as his sons and daughters. So we need to reflect that in the praise of his glorious grace. We sing the song Amazing Grace, but here Paul uses it, glorious grace. Yeah, God's grace to us is both amazing and it's also glorious. We often think of it as amazing, but here, grace is what happens when God chooses us and through the work of Christ we are saved and we're adopted into that spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. As we said the other week, God's riches at Christ's expense. Here we see it in this passage, another theme we could colour in with a different highlighter. We see God's riches, holy and blameless, adoption, verse 7, redemption, and then forgiveness are things that God gives us, God's riches that we get through the salvation at Christ's expense, verse 5, through Jesus, verse 7, through his blood. So we praise God, we praise his amazing, glorious grace for what he has done for us. Carrying on in verse 6, praise God, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. So again, it was God's choice, God's will to do this. It's God's pleasure to do it. And because it's God's will and God's pleasure, he has freely given us that grace. He has freely given us that salvation. He has freely made us his adopted sons and daughters. Freely given. We don't earn it. We can't earn it. The Bible tells us quite clearly there's no way we can earn it ourselves. And we don't deserve it. But God gives his grace and his love to us freely, because he chooses to, because it's his will, and because it's his pleasure. Praise God. And he gives it to us in the one he loves, Jesus. Again, we receive God's grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. And again, Paul is just, you know, as Paul writes this, there are more and more ideas of the way God's glorious grace has come to us through there. Verse 7, praise God. In him we have redemption through his blood. Again, that idea of grace again. Not through what we've done, but through what Jesus has done. Jesus' blood, Jesus' death on Calvary has paid the price of our sin, and through him we have redemption in his blood. So we are chosen by God, but we are still sinners, and God is holy, so God needs to act to cleanse our sin, and the price of Jesus' blood. Jesus died for the price of our sin, hence we are redeemed through Jesus' blood. And carry on in verse 7, the forgiveness of sins. Praise God, and thus we receive forgiveness for sins. Keep that idea. This is all about praising God for his glorious grace and what he has done for us. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. And all of this grace that we're receiving from God is part of his plan through eternity. Remember, Paul said he chose us before creation to receive that grace. God knew this was the plan all the way through, and he lavishes on us. I'm going to steal Spencer's idea. I think it was Spencer's idea about lavishing custard on your pudding. It's not just here's your dessert and there's a bit of custard in the bowl, but there's more custard. You know, it's poured on, it's lavished on, it's poured on and overflowing. And that's the idea, that God lavishes on us his grace, his love, his salvation, the riches in the spirit, in the heavenly realms that Paul writes about. God pours them onto us lavishly, not grudgingly, not, well, here's a bit, but more and more. And why? Because it's God's choice, it's God's will, and it's God's pleasure to bless us and give us this grace and this salvation. But look at the end of verse 8 there. In accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Now, different translations take this slightly differently. Some apply the wisdom and understanding to the lavishing, and some apply it to the next bit in verse 9. But whatever's happening, we know that God is pouring out his goodness to us through Jesus with wisdom and understanding and insight. Because if I gave you too much custard, it wouldn't be good for you. And God knows what is, you know, God knows what we need. God knows how much we need at any one point. So while he is generously giving us his blessings, he's also doing it with wisdom and understanding and insight into us, that it's done for our good and it's done the best for us. Praise God that he lavished it on us with wisdom and understanding. Not reckless, not overindulgent, not spoiling us, but giving generously and appropriately with wisdom and insight. Into verse 9. Praise God, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. And there's a mystery here. It's amazing that God chose us before creation started. It's amazing that Jesus died for our sins. There's a mystery in that. We can't fully understand what's going on. And this idea that God chose us to be adopted as his sons and daughters before the beginning of time can be difficult to understand. But Paul says there's a mystery here. The mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. God's making known to us his choice, his will, his pleasure, and his purpose in Christ that comes to us and brings us all together. The mystery unfolds in the next few verses, verses 10 and 11 through to that. God is making it known to us through his Holy Spirit, and there is God's wisdom and understanding in the way that these things make known to us. Verse 10, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment. God's plan takes place in the fullness of time. The plan, as we've seen in these verses, that God made before creation and coming through the present and on into the future and eternity. God's plans take place over a long period of time. The fact that before creation, God chose me to be adopted into his family is miraculous. And that should encourage us and inspire us to praise and glory. It encourages us because it reminds us that God knows everything that's happening. And no matter what's difficult at the moment, what I'm struggling with in my life, what I'm going to face next week and the weeks after, the difficulties that we've talked about this evening, God knew them and God's plan is there. And it reminds me that when things are difficult, what's happening is God's plan, verse 10, to be put into effect when the times reach fulfillment. So God is working in our lives. God has chosen us and his pleasure and will. He has made us part of his family, and he is working in our lives now to reach the fulfillment. The fulfillment has not come yet, but the fulfillment is coming, end of verse 10 there, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. I mentioned earlier, we said, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And God's plan from before creation is to bring everything under Jesus. Jesus is our Saviour, our Lord. And one day we will see him and we will be able to worship with the whole world. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. God's purpose and pleasure is to bring all things, to bring us, to bring me, all people under Christ, to serve and worship Christ. Verse 11, praise God again. Praise God, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Again, there's that idea that God chose these things to happen before time. God is working through time, and everything will happen in conformity with God's will. Whatever God has chosen to happen will happen. And say that again should encourage us and inspire us that God is in control of what's going on. We don't need to worry when things are difficult. We can worry about the state of our nation. We can worry about what's going on. But God is in control, and it's God's plan that he works out for his purpose and his will. We are saved because God willed it and Christ achieved it. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says this, John 6, all those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. More reminders that salvation is God's plan from creation to eternity. And the ones God has chosen to be adopted into his family will be saved through the work of Jesus Christ. Verse 12. In order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory, verse 13, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of salvation. So maybe here Paul is referring to the Jews and the Gentiles. Verse 12, Paul was a Jew. He says, in order that we, the Jews, who were the first to put our hope in Christ. And then verse 13, he's writing to the Ephesians and by extension to us, the Gentiles. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Paul's point is that in the new covenant with Jesus, it's no longer a question of one nation, the Jews, being God's chosen people. But God's people will come from every nation, every tongue around the world. From Europe, from Africa, where Mercy Air are working, all will come to know Jesus. And Paul's point is that the nation, the creed doesn't matter. Those God has chosen will be saved through Jesus, whether they're Gentile or Jew. And again, our overall theme, praise God, that God's people will be chosen all over the world. God planned it and willed it. Jesus accomplished it. We heard and believed the message of salvation. End of verse 13. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit, and when we repent and believe in Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is part of God's plan for us, God's will, God's pleasure, because verse 14 there, the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. So the Holy Spirit comes into us when we're saved and we believe Jesus on Jesus. The Holy Spirit, Paul talks here about, is a guarantee of our inheritance. We are adopted as God's sons and daughters, adopted as part of God's family, and that gains us the inheritance. The Holy Spirit is the deposit, if you like. If you like, imagine buying a house. When you pay the deposit, you are committed, and that's going to be paid. That's the first part of the payment, and that guarantee is going to go through. And that deposit is what's happening here. The Holy Spirit that we receive from God is the guarantee that we are chosen and will receive that adoption, that inheritance in eternity. And then verse 14 closes with that same idea, to the praise of his glory. So the whole passage that we've gone through very rapidly there is about praising God. Praise God because he has chosen us, he has made us holy and blameless in his sight, he has adopted us into his family, and we know that in time, verse 11, we will all be united under Jesus. Praise God who has blessed us in Christ. He chose us for adoption. We have redemption for his praise and glory. So what? Is that just a, you know, a nice passage that gives us a warm feeling about God? What does that mean for us? What does that mean for us when we go into the week ahead, when we go to work or school or college or whatever we're doing this week? Well, for me, when I'm feeling down, that passage tells me that I'm safe in God's will and God's pleasure, and I praise God. It tells me when I fail and get things wrong, even though I fail, I'm still chosen by God. I'm still adopted in his family. I'm still part of God's will and pleasure. I should praise God. It also reminds me that when things are going really well, I'm feeling great, I'm feeling successful, actually, that's nothing to do with me. But when I'm feeling successful, I still praise God, because overall I am still a sinner, and it's God's work through Jesus that God chose us and makes us holy and blameless in his sight that adopts us. And I have no cause to be proud of what I've done because of this even greater thing that God has chosen, that Jesus has accomplished. When I'm feeling anxious about what's coming, when I'm feeling anxious about whether I will have enough money in the future or a home or a career or whatever it might be, when I'm feeling anxious, actually this passage reminds me that I am secure because of God's plan and will. And I praise God because whatever's going on, I know that God's hand is on me and guiding me, and he will not let me go. God has willed from before creation that I would be adopted into his family and be saved. And sometimes we might be tempted to look at this and say, well, God has chosen us, therefore we must be special. And we take some sort of pride in that. And this passage reminds us there is no cause for pride there. This reminds us that God chose us not because we are great people, not because we are special, not because we are particularly good, because the Bible tells us none of us are good enough for God's standard. But he adopted us because it was his will and his pleasure to choose us to be part of his family, part of his kingdom. And as Paul says there, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, for he chose us. In him we have redemption. He made known the mystery. In him we were chosen, having been predestined, in order that we might be for the praise of his glory. He gives us the Holy Spirit to the praise of his glory. So Paul just pours out this enthusiastic spiel as he thinks about what God has done. And that should be in each of us. We should be excited about what God has done. We should be glorifying and praising God because he has chosen us to be adopted into his family. He has chosen us to be saved in Jesus. And he has chosen us. Why? Because it's his pleasure and it's for his glory. Amen.